chapter 9 of Revelation. We're going to be talking about the fifth trumpet of seven. These last three trumpets, they've increased in severity, and these last three are the harshest, the most fearsome or frightening of the judgments. And these judgments are for the inhabitants of the earth. And let's go back to verse 13 of chapter 8 first. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Chapter 9 of Revelation, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. Now, back up to verse 13 of chapter 8, it says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." If you look that up, it means those who have been permanently settled. It means to be housed permanently. So this is speaking of those who have, and we just spoke about this, about not getting your tent pegs down too deep. That we are a pilgrim people. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are sojourners. And that this is not our permanent residence. And but here it gives the sense that these people were permanently stationed. They were like they had their roots deep into this world. And so this was a woe to the inhabitants, those who by this time would have had to have rejected the message of Christ. And as we're going through Revelation, you see a severity of these judgments, an increasing severity. And so this star has fallen from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened to the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So it's clear by this that there will be those who have been sealed by God, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king as king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. And tonight, I just want us to take a look at this one woe. There are probably as many opinions on the book of Revelation as there are people here tonight. I'm going to give you what I believe this is speaking to us, what God is saying here. And I believe that what God wants us to understand from His Word, He will reveal it to us if we ask Him to. What He wants us to know. I believe that there is a time and a season for everything. A child goes through seasons in life. He goes through different stages in life of development. Understanding comes as he develops and as he grows and as he learns more. But incrementally he grows. The same thing is true about us. As we're learning, we're incrementally growing, and we can only learn so much at a time, and there's only so much we can handle at one time. Would you agree with that? And so if you don't get the full revelation of everything in the revelation, don't sweat it, okay? What God wants you to know, He will reveal to you for the time that you're in your life right now. So I like to look at revelation from a practical standpoint. How does this apply to me? How can I apply this to my life? Now, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail right away, but I want to say that it's clear from Scripture that God has not appointed us, His church, to suffer wrath or to for His wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't believe in this that we're going to be going through the time of God's wrath. In the world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. Yes, we have tribulation, but we're not appointed to His wrath. That is for the ungodly. That is for the wicked. That is for those who reject Christ, who did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so this word is for those who had settled down on the earth and had rejected Christ. And in Hebrews 11:13, it tells us that true people of God are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This is not what we're living for. For here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. Amen? I believe that's Hebrews 13 verse 14. Now, the true people of God, Philippians 3 and verse 20 says, our citizenship is where? In heaven. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it might be conformed to His glorious body. So I don't believe that this is speaking specifically to the church. But we need to look at this, and God put it here for a reason. How many know that if God put something in His Word, it's good for you? It has purpose, right? God doesn't do anything without purpose. His ways are so far beyond our ways. Whatever God does is multifaceted. Sometimes we see one facet, but there are so many ways that God reveals Himself. In one situation that we face in life, there can be many repercussions. There can be many different types of influence because of that situation that occur. And sometimes all we see is just one thing going on in front of us. And say, sometimes we question, why God? Why this? Why me? When we begin to see through His eyes, He begins to open up a little bit more to us. He begins to show us that there's reason. People are in our lives for a reason. We are sharpening one another. We are honing one another. People sometimes even that step on our toes are actually there for a good purpose. Say amen. Make me feel good. Okay. God is working out a plan in each life, and He has a prescription for each one of us. Amen? So He's honing us through these things. And so this judgment begins to open up this pit. And I believe this is hell, obviously. It's the abyss. It's that the bottomless pit is hell. Amen? And the fifth trumpet sounds, and there's these locusts that come up. And this star has fallen from heaven to earth. And if you look at the original Greek, it doesn't say that it had fallen at that time. This was talking about a past occurrence. In other words, this star, which represents an individual, had already fallen. And the New King James helps to bring a little more clarity to that, where it talks about, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. Not like it was coming down and was watching it. It had already fallen. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, there are those who believe that this is a good angel. Okay, now, because they say, but because Jesus has the keys, right? Well, because He has the keys, He can authorize anyone to use those keys. He's the only one that has the authority, amen, to loose or bind, in the sense that when it comes to these keys, He's the one that has all authority. And so He can say allow or disallow. And so Jesus had given permission to this fallen one, all right, to open up the abyss, to allow this horde of demonic locusts to come forth, to bring judgment upon the earth. And it's interesting in Isaiah 14:12, where we read about Lucifer, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. God had already thrust him down. Jesus in Luke 10:18 says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Aren't you glad? But we know also that he has come down with great wrath upon the earth. And he's certainly not happy with you and I, because we have been given the assignment to represent the kingdom government of heaven. We have been given the assignment to destroy the works of this fallen one. Why? Because Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore in my name, he said, right? And so that's why we're dealing with the things we have to deal with. But in the meantime, there is no devil in hell that can stop you from fulfilling the will of God. He just wants to kind of try to convince you that he can. He wants to shut us down before we even get started. He wants to intimidate, am I right, into a corner and shut us down. He's a bluffer. Because Jesus has overcome. He has spoiled principalities and powers. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, I have it. And I'm with you. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And the overcomer is in you and I. And so, Revelation 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. And now this pit is so horrible. This place, this abyss, this bottomless pit. Now remember in Luke chapter 8:31 in the country of the Gadarenes, where Jesus, amen, confronted the legion and the man who was tormented by the demons. And they pleaded with Jesus not to cause them or make them go to this place and to that pit. And so we see these locusts come, as John describes them, as locusts. And again, you got to put yourself in the context of this and say, well, back then, you know, you didn't have what we have available today. When it says the waters were turned to blood, you know. Well, were they literally blood? There was no microscope or any science at that time for him to examine it and to prove. The Bible says it turned to blood. Whether it literally was blood or red, it turned red. But it became unpalatable for people to consume. The waters were poisoned. That's the point. So here, locusts are symbolic of destruction, you know. In nature, we've all probably heard and seen stories about locusts and how destructive they are. They can be like 100 yards across and as long as 4 miles a swarm, a locust. And of course, they just devour everything in their path. And so 100 yards is like an 8-lane highway across. You think about how large this swarm would be. And of course they're coming out, and there's such a noise, a roar that is produced because of the sheer volume and power of these demonic hordes that are coming up out of this place. This is a frightening thing. You can only imagine how John felt when he was seeing this. And it said, the smoke, verse 2, of the great furnace, so the sun and the air were actually darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then they came out onto the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, one thing, there's several things that they have a specific mission. Number one, they're told not to hurt the grass, trees, or any green thing. Number two, they're not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Remember in Revelation 7, we read about the 144,000 who were sealed. So they are protected by God, but those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads, they were not permitted to kill them, but to torment them. And I believe there's a good reason for this. Because you can question, say, how could God allow that? Their torment is 5 months. And it's interesting that 5 months is like the duration of a lifespan of locusts. And so it's not forever, it's for a season. And their sting is painful. It's excruciating pain that is produced like that of a scorpion. So the sting is the tail. You know, we don't know. We can speculate. Is it some type of venom that's released that causes this excruciating pain to come on men? Whereas they even may try to kill themselves and they're not evil. Death will flee from them. But they will be in such torment. Do you know, folks, I believe that even in the severity of God's judgments, there's also the awesome mercy of God. You know, Nels one time had shared how God spoke to him, and he says, you know, God speaks to us. And if we don't listen, he speaks a little louder. We don't listen, he speaks louder. And he'll speak louder and louder. And in that sense, he was talking about sometimes your life is going to get really painful. How many know that when we rebel against God, we end up getting turned over to tormentors? What we do is we allow access because of God's righteous reign. Amen. If we refuse to allow God to rule over us, to reign over us, then you're given permission for the enemy to come in. And God has a reason for why he does things. And I believe that this is giving people still, even in this time, opportunity to repent. So I believe that these demonic locusts are going to be released upon those who refuse to repent of their evil. And God's purpose for judgment is to punish the wicked and, hello, call them to repentance. Isn't it true that the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish? But he calls all to repentance. He gives us an opportunity because Jesus has already paved the way for us. He's dealt with the sin problem. If a man, a woman will repent and turn to him, they can receive forgiveness. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just talk about four different attributes of these locusts in verses 7 through 10. The crowns, they have like gold crowns on their heads. Now, a crown represents power, if you will, or authority. So I believe it's symbolic of the power that they're given. And who gives them this ability? Who gives them the power, folks? Yeah. Do you see? We can see in Revelation very clearly the sovereignty of God. Amen? That God really is in control of things here. The breastplates of iron. This is speaking of their invincibility. You know, who knows? They may try to wipe these things out or oppose them or who knows, using military means. But these things are going to be beyond the scope of human ability to overcome. They have a purpose. God assigns them. It's going to be for 5 months, whether people like it or not. Now, lion's teeth, if you think about a lion as he roars, it speaks of a ferociousness, right? A fierceness. So they're going to be fierce. They're going to be like invincible. And they're going to be given power. And then that tail, again, speaks of a stinging venom, if you will, to afflict. I remember when I was in Sunday school as a kid, that I had a teacher who was talking about this and the tails, the sting in their tails as possibly referring to helicopters. And later on, the horsemen as referring to tanks, you know, and in their tails they hurt. I don't know if I believe that. I believe in a more literal interpretation of this, that these are demonic forces out of hell. Now, people talk about hell on earth. But folks, We're not experiencing the hell on earth that's going to be in this time. For those, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Those who had not repented, those who had not received, amen, Christ. It's going to be bad. And now, the question it comes up, who are these locusts? Could they be fallen angels, possibly, who have been restrained since their fall? Now, in Jude chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So the Lord has bound these angels until the great day. Now, what are we talking about here, folks? I believe this is speaking of the day of the Lord. This is a day of darkness. This is a day that is not for the people of God. This is for the inhabitants that are on the earth at this time. And again, this torment is going to be so severe that men are going to seek to kill themselves. But they're not even going to be able to. That's a mind blower in itself. And that's in verse 6. Now, the leader of this evil horde is named Abaddon, which is the Hebrew word for destruction. So it can't be a good angel, folks. Apollyon in the Greek is Satan. So in the Hebrew, destruction, Satan is a destroyer, according to John 10:10, right? The thief came to what? To rob, kill, and destroy, right? So he's a destroyer. This is speaking of Satan here. And he's given the permission for a season. Now, verse 12 finishes and says, "One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Each trumpet judgment is far more fearsome than the previous." You know, I believe what we should really be getting out of this, folks, is not just to say, "Wow, that was interesting. You know, I gained some more knowledge about what's about to happen." How many know that we have been given an assignment from God? Not just to be ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. If we're coming to a knowledge of the truth, it is this, that you and I have been saved for a reason. That we have been commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a responsibility to bring a warning to the people. And to tell them that God is appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And why he has given assurance of us and that he's risen him from the dead. Jesus Christ is coming again, folks. This time, he's not coming as a suffering servant, but he's coming as a reigning king. And you and I have been commissioned and given the authority and the power of his Holy Spirit to go and to declare, amen, the kingdom is at hand. And to speak as Elijah, in the spirit of Elijah, prepare the way of the Lord. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen? Turn to God. God has provided a way of escape. Hallelujah. I'm not one of those who want to put themselves in this stuff, folks. I think Scripture is clear. In Romans 5:9, again, it says, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Say amen.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:9-11, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and build up, edify one another, just as you are also doing." Folks, I don't know how much comfort you can derive from a doctrine that tells you that you're going to go through all this hell. I'm not talking about tribulation. In this world, we'll have that. But this time, folks, is not for God's people. We are His bride. He's gone away to prepare a place for us. He's coming again. When Father says, "Go get your people. Go get your bride." All right? Everything is ready. I believe it's ready, folks. I believe Jesus is on the brink. He's waiting for the call from the Father to go. And the bridegroom's going to go out, and the call is going out. Amen. The bridegroom comes, folks. That's the message. Jesus is coming. Yes. It needs to be continually our message. Yes. See, people have become weary of saying Jesus is coming. Mm-hmm. We've been hearing that from my grandfather and my great-grandfather. We've been hearing that for years. Oh, yeah, Jesus is coming. Yeah. And scoffers are now arising and say, where is the promise of His coming, right? But He comes in an hour when they think not. Now, brethren, you are not in darkness that that day should overcome you, right? Or overtake you. So we are not those who don't have a clue. We're those who see what's going on and we say, wow, Jesus must be right at the door. We've got to get busy for Jesus. We've got to be about winning souls. We've got about reaching people, hallelujah, and bringing them to the cross. Amen. For forgiveness. For mercy. Before the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Before the door is sealed. It's time for you and I to take this seriously. Are we about our Father's business? Yeah. Are we about our Father's business? Are we doing what He's called us to do? All right. If we're not, it's time to. It's time to. I say this often, but I know you feel the same way as I do, that you want to see Jesus smiling when He sees you and says, oh, I've been waiting for you. I know who you are. Welcome in. Welcome home. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We've got a window of opportunity left. We've been given how many days, we don't know. But how many know it's important that we redeem the time? For the days are evil. And that this is what's coming, folks. The things that are happening now are only going to get more severe. But I believe it's going to be very soon. We're going to see this. We're going to see the King. We're going to be called up. I believe at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Shabbatomachia. So let's look up and let's rejoice. Hallelujah. Tingenamakosia. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. These are the closing days of time. There's a line being drawn, folks. God is sifting the wheat. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. Amen? Amen. The good fish from the bad fish. Yeah. Yeah. The harvest is at hand. And there's coming a time when the wicked will be forever separated from the righteous. And we need to be vigilant, watchful, in prayer, looking for the every opportunity that God affords us to reach the lost. Because folks, you know, eternity is going to be a long time for someone to be without God. We need to call them to repentance. Hallelujah. So encourage, edify one another, folks, that this wrath is not for us. And we can rejoice in our great salvation. But there are so many others that are still there, the men that God wants to bring in. And it's very easy for us to lose sight of our purpose. It's very easy for us to get distracted by temporary things, be choked by worldly things, so that we lose sight of who we are, where we're going. And so, let's just be reminded one more time tonight that we need to pray and ask God to give us souls. And be mindful, be looking. How many of you invite people to church? How many would agree this is a good place to invite people? Yeah. Keep inviting people, folks. Be looking for opportunities. Take some business cards we can make some more of. I got some upstairs, but just invite people to church. Amen? If you get an opportunity to pray for the sick, that's a good way to, amen. Look for someone who's hobbling along or sick or whatever. Pray for them. Talk to them. Look for opportunities to speak into people's lives. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. We need to speak. We need to declare. That means to speak forth the praises of God. When we boast on God, do you know, when I was working for Panasonic, what I would do often is, you know, we were in a church that was in revival, and man, it was exciting to be in church, you know. And so I would just boast on Jesus. I would tell people, man, you ought to see what's going on. Man, people are happy. People's lives are being changed, you know. People are getting healed. People are getting set free from addictions, you know. I mean, I tell you, God is awesome, and we start to boast on God's goodness. We give praise. We declare the praises of Him. Whether you have it all in a script form and you say, are you... if you were going to die today, are you going to go to heaven? Just start boasting on Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. We're
and they're going to start to say, wow, that sounds like something that I need in my life. It's amazing what praise does. And I had some people that hated me and some people that would walk the other way when I came through. But when they had a need, right? When the bottom fell out, they were looking for that Jesus freak, you know? So that's what we're about. Yeah. And the day is coming. And it's happening now. But it's going to increase as times get more difficult. We should not be shaken by them. Because we have an anchor of the soul. We have a Lord, amen, that is with us and for us. And we can... just hold on to Jesus. Go deep into His heart and He will sustain us. He will strengthen us. He will give us everything we need in that time of difficulty. So the world will look at you and me and say, wow, they're not shaken like all these people around me are. They're not shaken like I am. There's something different about them. They actually have peace in their eyes. They have dove's eyes. In the midst of the storm, we can have. Amen? Because we have a Savior who is with us forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So tap in. Go deep. Go into the deep end. Go into God's heart. Go after Him with passion. Because it's always out of that intimacy, out of that relationship, folks, that ministry is automatic. We're not working for God. We're walking with God.
Amen.
Yeah.